Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing a local podcast. Good morning. Good morning. It is July 1st, 2022, Friday. Hot, humid, but an amazing day. And it is the beginning of July. And this is where the heat kicks in. And we settle in for the ride. But it is it's a beautiful morning. Got up this morning, jumped on the e-bike. Really, if you're thinking about getting an e-bike and you can handle an e-bike, which is really, I'm just saying that in case you fall off. I don't want you to blame me. I'm sure you wouldn't. But, you know, if you can handle, you know, because there are some things about e-bikes that you do have to be aware of. And they can jump away from you a little bit. I have plenty of experience riding bikes. I used to race BMX. I was, you know, a kid once like the rest of us. So I feel like I have a pretty good understanding of a bicycle. But I can tell you that, you know, so one of the things that e-bikes, at least, and obviously all e-bikes are different, but I know for mine, and I think it's typical on most, they have a pedal assist where you can set, I think on mine it's 1 through 6. I think I can change it to 9, but 1 through 6, I put it on 1, and the bike assists me. But the assisting doesn't start until I start pedaling. And once I start pedaling, you can feel the motor kick in, and then it assists me because my bike's heavy. Most e-bikes are, with batteries and motors and stuff, so they're pretty heavy. So when I set mine on like a 1, the assistance from the battery makes me feel like I'm riding just a regular bicycle. So, but you can change that number, you know, if you put it up to 2, 3, 4, obviously the higher you go, the more assist, the faster you go. But one of the interesting things is that the assist is kicked in by pedaling. So if I'm just coasting, it's not assisting. But when I start to pedal, the motor kicks in. So the reason I bring this up is that sometimes, you know, on a bicycle without all the assisting and stuff that comes with it, there is, you know, you have the ability to kind of cruise around, coast, stand up, kind of work your way through little obstacles. But as soon as you start pedaling with an e-bike, the bike takes off. And if you have it on a high number, it could take off pretty quickly. So, you know, mine actually has a button that I can turn the assist off, or I can just turn it down to 0 if that's the case. But, you know, I guess the whole point is they can be a little bit of a rascal. You got to be, you know, on your game, especially when you're stopped. You know, if you stop and then start to pedal, that assist will kick in, and man, it'll take you for a quick ride if you're not expecting it. So, but the point is I got up this morning and I got to go for a nice ride. Rode yesterday. I've shared before, we lived down at the beach. I lived probably 5 miles from the beach, I would think, 5 miles from the sand. So, and we're blessed. We live by this Junction Breakwater Trail where we can just jump right on the trail. The trail is kind of a big loop through our area. So I rode the trail down to the beach and, you know, rode along the boardwalk and then decided to head home, and then realizing the time, just decided to keep going and went all the way out to our new house, which is, I don't know how many miles from our other house, but it is, it's a little sketchy. It's not, we're a little behind the times here in our town as far as like people, bike-friendly roads. The one road I was riding on, it was literally the road and dirt. So it was a little sketchy. It was early, so there wasn't too much traffic out, but I'm not sure I would want to do that during the day. or, you know, in the late afternoon when the traffic gets really crazy, because you could probably get whacked. The cool thing about my bike is it's actually pretty quick. So if there's moments where, you know, I'm in a kind of a situation, I can accelerate my way out of it and get to safety. But it was fun, you know, just really, really good stuff. And but that's how I started my day, and I wanted to do a little podcast. I got to work today. It is the 4th of July weekend. This is the beginning, for at least for us, of Crazy Town. We will have a ton of people come to this town this weekend, and which is great. You know, it's great for business, and but it is an inconvenience. So, you know, almost 30 years of living here, I'm aware of it, prepared, and it's a great day. I thought I would read, you know, I did this podcast already once, and it just got, I got stuck on a word, and I was like, you know what, this is weird. So, but it said an AA thought for the day. In following the AA program with its 12 steps, we have the advantage of a better understanding of our problems. Day after day, our sobriety results in the formation of new habits, normal habits. As each 24-hour period ends, we find that the business of staying sober is a much less trying and fearsome ordeal than it seemed in the beginning. Do I find it easier? As I go along. Do I find it easier as I go along? I do. I do. But, you know, one of the, I've shared before, you know, one of the bad parts about getting sober is that, you know, the memories of the moment, because I've said it, I believe it. I don't think anybody just decides that they're exhausted from picking up vodka and decides to get sober. And whenever I hear, I was at a meeting, I guess I was at that meeting last week, and there was a person with 13 days, which is great. But, you know, the person said, you know, I just was like, you know, the person shared a bit of a story, but you could tell it was the homogenized version of the story. And basically at the end of the story, the person was like, you know, I just decided maybe I've had enough. And that's great. It's fine. But I know the deal. Nobody gets sober because you're just exhausted from drinking. Nobody goes, oh, geez, I hope, you know, maybe I drink too much, I should stop. It just doesn't happen. You have to, I know for me, it took, you know, an ego devastating moment, complete humiliation, ego devastation. I got my ass kicked. This person talked about babysitting and then was kind of vague about it, but it sounded probably like this person was babysitting, got hammered, passed out or whatever. And then, you know, the family probably had it. And just like I love to say, you know, we admit we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable to everybody else. And that's usually the case as well. I know that was the case for me. And you know, when your life is so unmanageable, it is hard. It's hard. It's a major inconvenience. Maybe that's a better way to put it. You know, because you're constantly, you're either coming out of an incident or headed towards one, right? Or just constantly living in one. And everybody's basically given up. Your life has become so unmanageable. Giving up is the only way to manage, right? And that's kind of how it works. And, you know, we love to walk out of our alcoholism and saying, yeah, I made this choice. But it's not really the case, you know, because in that first step, we admit we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. It is unmanageable to everybody else, right? I could have probably kept drinking. I say it all the time. The 10th one got me sober. You know, I was fine with the first 9. But that's how, you know, a good alcoholic is. We will ride the ship right into the fucking bottom of the ocean. But our family, and we have to make choices. Do we want family? Do we want job? Do we want anything? Or in the end, do I just want this pain to stop? And in the end, that's exactly what I wanted. And, you know, what I was going to say was that, you know, one of the good things and bad things is that the memories slowly fade, right? And we start to shape them how we want to remember them, or the devil does. My ego starts to shape the memories like my ego wants to remember it. You know, when I, and, you know, forgive me if I've shared this before, but when I got my ass handed to me in that bar that night, you know, ego is gone. Ego left. It was just me and whatever was left. And whatever was left was humility. And, you know, thank gosh, right? Because that's where I was able to have some clarity and start to make a decision that I needed to get some help. And I was very humble, right? I was very humble. There was no fight. The fight was gone. And, you know, I confessed I'm an alcoholic. I need help. Got put into that program at the fifth floor over at BB Hospital and hid there, right? Me and my humility hid in that hospital. And ego wasn't allowed. Ego wasn't allowed in the hospital. That's when all of a sudden AA started showing up, started helping me. But after, you know, after the dust had settled, right, after I'd kind of gotten into a sort of a routine, going to meetings, my ego starts to show up again. It's like, hey, you all right? You know, like, where you been? Oh, I was hanging out. this program is not for me. Ego is not welcome here. This is an open meeting, but not for ego. But when ego came back, you know, ego starts telling me, you know, it wasn't that many stitches. You didn't get hit that hard, right? It starts to kind of reshape the memory. And, you know, if you'd asked me the day that I got punched, I'd have told you, oh my God, I got my ass kicked. God damn it, I'm a freaking asshole drunk. And I got my ass kicked and I deserved it. And I had 50 stitches. I got thrown out the front door. I was laying in my own blood and yada, yada, yada. But then you ask me, you know, 13 years later. And I'm like, well, I probably could have taken the guy, right? If I'd have known, right? I started making excuses. One of the interesting things that happened that night was that I got hit in the mouth, but I don't know who hit me. I don't know what hit me. So, you know, it's always fun to say, oh, God reached down and hit me, and whatever. But I don't remember. I never saw the punch. It was a one-punch thing, and I definitely deserved it. Or I guess, I mean, I don't know if I deserved it, but I got what I got. So, you know, I have to fill in the blanks a little bit, but I do know that, as ego starts to show up, he's like, you know, hey, probably could have taken the guy, right? If he'd have just shown his face, right? Or, it wasn't that many stitches, or it wasn't that bad. And ego's just like talking me out of it, trying to remove the memories so that, when there is that time of weakness, which there will be, you know, hopefully for ego's sake, he's painted a picture that makes it easier for you and me to go back and pick up that drink. And that's exactly what happened when I did it. You know, I remember that it was 4 years, you know, 4 years into it. And, you know, I was like, I don't know. I've shared before, just kind of living a sort of a self-centered ego life. Ego had made his way back in. Ego had moved back into the house, right? And, you know, I'm looking at myself like, who let him back in? I don't know. Did you let him back in? I don't know. Did you let him? And I let him back in. And then he starts that fucking chatting, right? Chatting and chatting. And I'm like, oh boy. And then he says, hey, look how good you've done. And I was, you know, at this point, ego had shaped me into a place where I was like, yeah, look how good I've done.
Making
Dreams come true. But yeah, that ego had shaped me into a way that when that moment came, he detected my weakness at that moment. And he started, you know, hey, look how good you've done. Right? Ego loves to stroke ego. Look how good you've done. I think you can maybe drink now. And, you know, and I thought I had it together. I really thought that I'd had it together. But, you know, it talks about in there that this program gives us the formation of new habits. And that's, you know, to me, what going to meetings is about. You know, I was, I was nothing. I had no clue. I had no social skills. All I did was serve self. And, you know, meetings put me around people that go to meetings, right? And not all people in meetings are perfect, right? I'm not perfect. We're all learning, right? So, you know, you have to pick and choose the advice that you get. That's why they say get a sponsor. But you know, you even have to pick and choose your sponsor because you never know who you're going to get. But, you know, it's like showing up. That's a new habit. You know, I wouldn't show up for anything. Being on time. Actually, early is on time. You know, I was always late. Always late. It's like, how... If you're only concerned about yourself, you're going to be late. You want to drive me insane? Show up late. That to me is the top of the list of being self-centered. You know, I had a buddy of mine who was always late, and we're not friends anymore. You know, I really liked him, but we can't be friends. He's special. And I can't handle special people, but, you know, showing up on time, you know, shaking hands, being thoughtful, listening. Some of these things, they kind of mix in and mix out. You know, the self-centered side of us, you know, I know my self-centeredness got exposed in meetings, you know, by my buddy Scott, my buddy Matt. You know, I've shared a couple examples, you know, just blatantly going, my God, do you think you're that fucking important? And I was like, yeah, well, I guess, I was like, no, but at the time, I guess inside I did. So, you know, you start to learn new habits, normal habits. As each 24-hour period ends, we find the business of staying sober is a much less trying and fearsome ordeal than it seemed in the beginning. Sober. Because when we come into this program, or when I came in, I didn't care about my peace of mind. I didn't care about anything. I just wanted to stop drinking. And that's great. And it works. It does work. But some point, you know, I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago, you know, in that fifth step, it starts talking about we find the business of staying sober is much less trying. But then we start to worry about serenity or peace of mind. I don't think people realize that there's a difference, right? I think a lot of people think they come hand in hand. If you have sobriety, then you have peace of mind. If you're free from drink, you automatically have serenity. Now, they're really two different diseases, right? Hi, are you here for sobriety or are you here for serenity? Oh, you're here for sobriety? All right, stop drinking. Oh, hi, you're here for serenity? Stop thinking, right? They're two different. And you can't have one without the other, right? You can't drink and have serenity, and you can't be sober. Well, you can't, yeah, you have to be free of alcohol to find serenity, right? You definitely have to get rid of the serenity. But just because you're free of alcohol does not mean that serenity is guaranteed. It is not. In fact, it's harder, I think, to find serenity than it was to quit drinking. Quitting drinking was pretty simple. One punch to face, bleed out on floor, thrown out of bar, lay on concrete, call my only friend that would give two shits, find myself in hospital, and then let AA show up and do the rest. And I'm very, very blessed for that. But yeah, it's all new habits. And, you know, one of the things that really, unfortunately, the downside of all this, people, is that you almost become, do you remember that movie? I forget. I don't know what it was called, but basically, and it was like an old movie. So, but you would put on these sunglasses and you could see the bad people, right? Or it's like, I don't know if you watched any of that new series, Peacemaker, which was excellent if you get a chance. But if you put on this helmet, you can see the butterflies. These butterflies were aliens and they were taking over people. When you put on this helmet, you could see, I think it had x-ray vision, and you could see through people like an x-ray, but you could see that there was a butterfly in their head. But the point is that once, you know, you start getting a little AA, and you start finding a little sobriety, and you start working on that serenity, then all you do is see everybody else and how self-centered they are, and how sick and gross they are. And, you know, maybe that's the way we're supposed to be. Maybe we're not supposed to be so aware of our self-centeredness, but I tell you what, man, it is a curse for me, because all I seem to be is surrounded by people that just constantly just think of themselves and have no fucking clue that they're doing it, right? They have these habits that I had too. And I, you know, I'm not perfect, and I can, you know, sometimes I'll have a conversation with somebody and I'll find myself making a comment which sort of makes it about me. Which in most situations, people would be like, nah, who cares? We're chatting. But when you get sobriety, you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I just made that about me. So stupid, you know, and it gets hard, and you get tormented by, you know, this backstage pass to, you know, humility, and it's rough. And so what happens is that when, like, people in my life, you know, it's tough. I'm sort of struggling a little bit, not because I want to drink, but some days I just don't want to be so aware of how self-centered we are as a country, as a community, as a family. I mean, it's just really gross. And I was saying this morning, or I was saying last night, I go, you know, where we live, you know, gas, you know, like everybody went up, you know, it was at $5, right? We're all freaking out, right? Everybody's saying something on some platform or some social media. Everybody's, you know, bad-mouthing our president, like him or don't like him, I don't care. But the point was is that, you know, it's, you know, 100 voices, and, you know, everybody's complaining, and everybody has something negative to say. Well, I don't know if anybody's noticed, but gas has gone down. At least here, gas went down a quarter. Unknown caller. Gas went down a quarter, and that's crazy. But nobody has said anything about it. You know, no one said, oh my gosh, look, gas went down. You know, we have our ups and downs. No, people just only seem to like to talk about the negative stuff. And because I think I think we can all get into that kiddie pool, right, of the negative stuff. But to be positive, right, you can't, that means you have to put ego aside, you have to find humility. And ego's like, listen, we can make some great posts. We can be very insightful. We can create thought. Let's post some stuff and let's get people aggravated. And, you know, and that's what they do. And we all get all upset, but nobody's writing. I've looked on Facebook this morning and my Instagram. Nobody has posted anything. And this has been probably over the last week. You know, they post gas up 3 cents. Holy moly. Gas is up 3 cents. It's like, okay, gas is down a quarter. How come nobody's writing about that? And it's just, you know, it's just weird. Makes me want to move to the desert. What else do we got here that we can read? I saw this meditation for the day. Let's read that. Oh, well, yeah, so in the end of this last thing I was reading, thought for the day, it says the formation of new habits and normal habits. And, you know, people love to do normal things and want to be praised for them. You know, understand what you're doing. And, you know, people, look, I made it to work. Very good. You were supposed to, right? Hey, I didn't steal. Good job. You weren't supposed to steal. You know, people want to be praised for doing normal things. And I like how it says that. Formation of new habits, normal habits. As each 24-hour period ends, we find that the business of staying sober is much less trying and fearsome and a fearsome ordeal than it seemed in the beginning. Do I find it easier as I go along? And I do. I do find it easier. I'm grateful when, you know, my time in this program and working with other, working with sponsors and other people, you know, I've learned the role that ego plays. I already know when ego's going to show up. I already know to be prepared. It's like having a backup, right? A backup, an escape plan. And, you know, I'm aware of it. And I have to pick and choose when I listen and how much I listen. But it has become easier. I'm aware of it. And, you know, I'm very grateful that I don't drink today. I'm still working on the serenity part. That's the side that's become very fascinating to me. But the not drinking part is... you know, and people, you know, they say, oh, if I ever pick up, I'll never be back. Ego. That's ego talking right there. Dun-da-dun, super alcoholic, right? I can tell you, when I drank, the only thing I could think about was getting back. And I was so surprised that, because when I got in that fight that night and I got the shit kicked out of me, ego was gone. There was no desire to drink. There was no, you know, maybes. That ego took ego went on vacation. Ego had been working very hard for the last 20 years. And when that happened, ego said, I'm out. I'm going on vacation. I'll catch you later. And the gift of sobriety was allowed into my life. And when I drank again, I was just so shocked how I couldn't quit again. Right? I just could not stop drinking. I think because I think when the conversation with ego was going down, I think there was, I know we did some negotiating with my wife to try to get her on board, and we did. We got her on board, and we did the old a couple beers a night kind of thing. Why don't I just have a couple three, you know, if I just have three beers a night, what's the big deal? Well, it was a big deal, and I was just amazed how quickly I fell back into that fucking bottle and fell back into those habits. It was just, I was in shock. And, yeah. It says meditation for the day. So to fin that, yes, I do find it easier as I go along. But at the same time, it's also harder, right? Because every day between me and that last drink, ego's doing push-ups, right? And ego's got a plan. And I know ego will show up one day and say, hey, look how good you've done again. Maybe drinking will work, and I've got an answer for him when he does. So it says, meditation for the day. Learn daily the lessons of trust and calm in the midst of the storms of life. Whatever of sorrow or difficulty the day may bring, God's command to you is the same. Be grateful, humble, calm, and loving to all people. Leave each soul the better for having met you or heard you. For all kinds of people, this should be your attitude, a loving desire to help and an infectious spirit of calmness and trust in God. You have the answer to loneliness and fear, which is calm faith in the goodness and purpose in the universe. Prayer for the day. I pray that I may be calm in the midst of storms. I pray that I may pass on this calmness to others who are lonely and full of fear. Yeah, that's our job, right? Be there for the next alcoholic. Listen, I hope everybody has a great day, man. If you're trying to stay sober, use the tools, man. Use the tools. Reach out. Say it out loud. If you're struggling, if you want to drink, say it out loud. It cuts the power of that drink in half. You know, divulge all your secrets. Get some sunshine on that shit. And, you know, you might make it. But if you don't, try again tomorrow. Have a great day. Bye. Don't waste my time. Where do I park the car? I don't stay-
it's treated me all right so far. If dreams come true,
I've yet to drink the cup.